cool.
That's cool. I don't have any agenda for this, just because most of the people I know are easy to talk to. So, yeah, so it should be no problem. Let's see here. Cool. All right, let's see. All right, live on Facebook. What's up? Live What's on up? YouTube. I'm here with Jay Ferrugia. I think, well, that's us right here, so maybe I need to move over a little bit. There you. Perfect. All right, sweet man. We're going to get started here in just a minute. I'm just going to hit it. I'm here with Jay Ferrugia, who is my new best friend.
Yes,
and
this sir.
This is amazing. So we're going to talk about all things Renegade Strength Club, podcasting, online training. So, like, while we're sitting here kind of waiting for the countdown, I guess, we have our audience is, you know, fitness trainers, mm-hmm. some marketers, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I think it would be super valuable just for me personally to kind of know, I mean, you know, I'm sure we could do the your story thing and maybe some questions will naturally arise there. And then kind of how you got into the, you know, fitness marketing and the, you know, sort of info product training online sort of stuff and how you were able to scale that and cool. what you're working on now, if that's cool.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
So, awesome. What do you got going on today besides this?
I'm going to train. Trying to meet up with Adam Bornstein because he's in town.
Cool.
My buddy Luke is coming to stay with us for the weekend. Luke Hosevar.
Interesting. Awesome.
What else? Might try to get in the float lab later on.
Okay.
You float or no?
I do not float. It freaks me out a little bit.
Really? That's, you got to get used to it. At the beginning, it freaks you out a little bit.
Yeah,
like, I was claustrophobic and I was just hearing my own heartbeat and I was...
I don't know.
But if you keep going, it gets better.
It feels like it could be super meditative to me. But,
totally.
And I love meditating and all that, but it freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the last time I saw floating too was on Stranger Things. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, well, which was interesting. I just started watching Stranger Things a few weeks back. And it was interesting that they were talking about it back in 83. And now that I've researched it, I know it's really old. But we've only heard about it like the last, I don't know, five years, it seems like.
And so it a little bit freaks me out, but I'll get to doing it. So what are the benefits of it? Like, what do you love?
Yeah, like you said, meditative state. I mean, you're in 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt. So it's just, you know, you're floating, so your joints are all completely decompressed. You come out walking and feeling like you're 10 years younger. Your spine feels great. Your joints feel great. You're soaking up all that magnesium, so you're really relaxed.
Okay.
There's immune system benefits to it. And, you know, I'm just a hyper, high-strung East Coast dude naturally, so it helps me just kind of chill out a little bit.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'll have to do it. I'm feeling kind of, you know, we're going on a mastermind retreat here in, like, a couple days to Hawaii. And we just extended our trip because I'm like, I'm feeling kind of cooked a little bit.
Yeah.
I need to lay a little bit of a rest, but maybe I need to float. Do you float around here? Is that like?
Yeah. So, dude, you got to get to walking distance. It's right down the Venice Boardwalk. It is the float lab. Just Google it. It's like literally
I'll
take
Google
you about
yeah,
10 minutes to
cold.
Walk down.
No, yeah, I'll totally
and,
do that.
And it's super cheap down there. It's like the cheapest it is in the whole country.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Awesome.
Yeah,
yeah no, we've been meaning to give it a go for a while, but I get... You know, just a little nerve wrack, but I'll do it. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Everything's normal. So.
Oh, well, you got this right here. Look at this. What's this?
We got some salts there. Yes.
We're going to be soaking in this after.
That's what, yeah.
Not together, but.
No. We'll see how this interview
we'll
goes.
We'll see how this goes. Yeah, you never know.
Things can go great here.
Yeah.
All right, so awesome. We'll get started now. So if you're just tuning in, welcome to episode 14 of AJTV, the show
yes,
where we
sir.
Interview top-level entrepreneurs, fitness experts, authors, podcasters, and just all-around awesome people, get their ninja secrets, kind of ask them what is working now, what has worked in the past, and try to use it and implement it in our life. I have my new best friend, Jay Ferrugia, here, and thanks for being here, dude. I really appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah. Now, I don't know who I'm following here, so I don't know if there's a lot of pressure. I don't know if you had Craig Ballantyne on. I don't know if I can follow that.
You are following Craig Ballantyne, but
I'm going to walk out right now. I don't know if I can do that.
Bedros. Bedros is coming in a couple weeks.
Man,
He's not today.
I got to try to step it up then.
Make an embarrassment for him so
yeah.
when he comes, he has no idea what to do.
Yeah.
Sweet, man. So why don't you, for people who are been living under a rock, which would be weird if they don't know who you are, give a quick qualification, kind of what your history is, what your deal is, why should we listen to you? I mean, I know why.
I don't know if you should listen to me, but
you should listen to them.
I started in the strength and conditioning industry in 1994. I was still going to college at the time. Started interning in the weight room, started training people, saved up all the money, started opening my own gym. I ran that for about 12 years, about 12 to 15 hours a day. Eventually just got burnt out, as you tend to do, which I'm sure a lot of people listening could relate to.
Yep.
When you're training people around the clock all day, you do get burnt out, you get fried. So I transitioned to start doing stuff online 2001, started writing articles, got hooked up with Elite Fitness. Dave Tate and I became close friends. Alan Cosgrove, I've known since 1996. So Alan helped me as I started writing for magazines. Alan was kind enough. He was stepping down from doing his Hard Gainer column, and he suggested me, which was amazing at the time. You know, he suggested that I take it over.
Time. That's amazing.
So I'd been writing some articles, and I took over. I had my own column for a few years, became friendly with Sean Heisen, who was the editor. He gave me a ton of work, and then eventually just branched off in every other magazine and got more and more popular online, started selling with Craig's help. Started selling info products successfully, okay. Training programs, started a membership site, and then the last few years, we moved here to California 6 years ago, so I no longer have brick and mortar gym, sold that.
Okay.
And then my main focus is my podcasts. And you know, I do some public speaking podcasts, cool. Getting into stand up a little, do a lot of improv, stuff like that, branched out.
Awesome.
A little bit, yeah. So
that's super not surprising from the little bit I know about you so far, though. Like, I feel like you doing stand up and anything speaking.
Got to keep pushing myself. Got to keep taking risks, doing new stuff.
And
yeah,
always.
You can't do the same thing.
Doesn't have
forever.
To just be business. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome, dude. So let's talk a little bit about the info product stuff, right? So how did you get into the info product? Like, I think that's probably the first place I heard of you. Maybe.
Okay.
Googling, you know, fitness programs, and when I was, you know, even smaller, if you could believe it, when I was a kid, and I was like, how do I get, you know, fit? And Jay Ferruya popped up everywhere. So how did you get started in that? And I mean, you kind of became, I think, a household name in that world. Most people know who you are if they're involved in anything muscle gain, fitness online, training online. So how did that start? How did you break into that? How were you able to make it a business?
Yeah, so like I said, I was burnt out at the gym, and I knew I had to. What actually happened was, I think this has got to be, I'm losing track of the year, maybe 2003. Men's Fitness did a one-page thing on me, and they linked to my website. Now that wouldn't happen today. Links don't mean anything in magazines today, but back then, 2002 or three,
yeah.
All of a sudden, I went from literally selling probably $50 to $100 a month worth of this product to $300 a week. And, I'm sorry, $300 a day, and I'm like, wow, I failed math several times, but I know that could equal six figures.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, so I was like, oh man, like I gotta make a serious run at this. So it's funny, the Men's Fitness thing ran for about 6 weeks, and then it kind of died down, but I knew there was something there. So I tried it on my own. Mm-hmm. It was okay. It wasn't until Craig and I sat down, and Craig's like, all right, here's the plan, let's do it. And then back then, this was a lot of money for me. I made 25 grand that first couple days. And then from then, it was just a six-figure business, and the online info products have been pretty successful ever since then. And I transitioned it into continuity with the membership site, wow. Which has been pretty good, too.
Yeah, and you still have that membership site now, right?
Yeah, we're working on making it a little bit more user-friendly, more 2017 kind of app trackers and stuff like that.
You put,
yeah.
Like, exclusive interviews in there and stuff like that?
No content. I think no there's content. Too much content. Just workouts.
Just workouts.
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. Okay, sweet, man. So that's, and you're still running that membership site today, right? Right now, kind of
yes.
Like yourself, you have a team who kind of
no, I have a few people that work with me, okay. You know, that upload the workouts and maintain, do customer service and stuff like that. But sweet. We are it's going to be better in the next couple months once we relaunch the whole updated
sweet.
Version.
Awesome, yeah. All right, sweet dude. Why don't we talk a little bit about the podcast?
Sure,
what kind of got you into that? You said you're doing it for like 2 years before
I've been
started.
Doing it. I think we're coming up right, maybe it's a little over 2 years now. I think,
yeah,
and I started two and a half years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing improv at Second City, world-renowned Second City.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
Belushi, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler,
yeah, no,
all came
amazing.
Out of there. And what happened was I turned 40 2 years ago, and before, like when I was 39, I was thinking, man, like I'm out here, I moved across the country, I'm doing different stuff. But when I entered college in 1992, there was other things that I wanted to do that had nothing to do with fitness. Like I either wanted to be an anchor on SportsCenter, or I wanted to do comedy. Like I grew up obsessed. When my cousin Chip was my best friend growing up, and we would always stay up on Friday nights till 3 a.m. watching stand-up comedy all the time. And I always loved SNL, and I always loved David Letterman growing up. So I was like, man, I want to do some of that stuff, you know? And I'd grown personally to where I had the confidence to be able to speak and do that now. So I started taking improv a couple years back, and I was like, man, this is awesome. I really want to do more of this.
That's so awesome.
And then I was like, let me just speak into a mic and see where that goes without any intentions of monetizing it or having a business plan for it. Mm-hmm. And so I did it willingly and happily for 2 years without making any money. And now it's kind of cool. It's gratifying that with the numbers of downloads we're getting, we could actually make a lot of money on it. Mm-hmm. So it's validating now. So that's really my main focus. Now, me personally, I think everybody has to evaluate themselves and what works for you. So for some people like Craig's we joke around, Craig Valentine is a cyborg. He's not human. Like he gets so much shit done. It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, Bedros is the same way. And Bedros, I spend more time with Bedros than almost anyone, and he's one of my closest friends, but for me to compare myself to him will bum me out, because I know personally that I can't do that much stuff. Like, I can't, like if I see The Rock, and he's saying he sleeps 4 hours and doing 80 projects, sometimes I'm like, man, I should do all that, but then I just get bummed out, and I'm not successful, and I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. So, like, for me, it's one thing, and I talk about the book The One Thing, and the book Essentialism, those changed my life, so I'm just focused 100% on the podcast. Once that's where I want it to be, I'm going to start doing just one other thing that I have planned, but I'll transition slowly
into
that.
One thing at a time. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the awesome thing about it, too, is, and at least what I found in my short time in business, is the stuff that you try to force that you don't really enjoy, stuff doesn't work. And then when you start doing stuff you really, really like, that's when it starts to, like, take off, as it were. And it might be, like, this line, and then all of a sudden it spikes up. Like, we always want it to be linear, but a lot of times it's straight, and then all of a sudden, after like years and years of work, years of work, it just blows up overnight.
Yeah.
That's kind of that's awesome to see that happens at all levels.
Yeah,
awesome, dude. So if you're like a fitness business person, you're watching this, and they're thinking, I want to be a podcaster like Jay. You know, like where do they start? How do they start doing this?
Basically, I just got some John Lee Dumas, who was a guest on the show recently. He started Entrepreneur on Fire. So I got some stuff from him, some materials from him on how to do it, and just figured out what mics to get. We spent too much money on the mixer and the mic at the beginning, which now I would get much cheaper stuff. You don't need
look,
that.
Look who you're talking to. Look who you're talking to, my head.
Yeah, you got the whole scene going here.
Yeah.
But you don't need to do it like that. You can be guerrilla, do it underground, do it at home, you know, in a spare bedroom, in your living room, whatever. Don't wait for the perfect thing or because you can't afford a $400 mic to start it. Just start it, do it, speak your heart, you know, just say what you want, be original, know who your audience is for. I mean, honestly, a lot of the business rules, I don't really ever follow. I know a lot of them. I've never really followed them. Some of that's just my rebellious nature. Some of it's I just can't. I don't know.
Totally. Yeah.
It is what it is. And people would say, you know, have a specific niche, have an avatar, speak to one person. You know, that being said, I always think of myself as bigger and better than that, which is not an ego thing. It's just a confidence thing. It's like that's for people. I do believe that's really good advice for a lot of people. You should find one avatar, speak to that one person. Mm-hmm. I just haven't been able to do it. And if I knew if I did that, I would give up. Like, I'm so bored with this. So I try to do my thing. And, you know, luckily it's worked fairly well so far.
Yeah. I think there's an avatar in there. I don't know if we can label it, but there's something in naming a show like after yourself. It feels so egotistical, but for me, it's like I like so many things that I'm like, what's the one consistent thing, right? And so like my coach who set all this up, David Foster, is like, why don't you just name it after yourself? I'm like, that feels like the worst. He's like, it's the only consistent thing about the show.
Right. It's just you.
All right, that's fine. Yeah. And it's a lot more fun, and you know, it gives you that freedom where you don't feel like trapped. And I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs, the reason they get into it is they want to feel free, and you end up stuck in that one
thing. Oh, totally. Yeah. Craig talks about all that all the time in his book.
Yep.
Yeah. You need that structure.
Yep. The structure gives you the freedom.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, that's why I love Craig. And man. All right. Cool, dude. So, all right. What do you think in the next year, and let's not think too far ahead, even the next couple months, what do you think the future of podcasting is like? What do you think that landscape is going to look like? Where do you think if I'm a podcaster or if I have a live show or whatever, right, I should be focusing my energy on in terms of marketing, even content creation, everything, versus, yeah, I mean, what's working now? What's working in this?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm not going to pretend I have the answers, because I tend not to pay attention to too much of that stuff, because I can get wrapped up and over analytical, and you know, if I consume too much of it. So for me, I know that what helps is consistency. I mean, anything you do, consistency. Like, if your favorite show, like if Seinfeld wasn't on Thursdays at 9, if it was just randomly on whenever, the audience, so consistency is always important. No matter what you do, let people come to expect certain things. Like if it's gonna be funny, let people, it should be funny every time. Just in some way, figure out a way to have consistency in what you do.
Totally.
That's important. And again, you mentioned if you don't like it, you're not gonna do it. So if someone says to you, hey, you can make $1 million an episode talking about the stock market, but you hate talking about the stock market, don't do that. So do stuff that you like, because it's gonna come across. Like your energy is gonna be better. You're gonna be authentic. People will be able to see through it if it's not. So that's really the only advice I could give. I don't know, I'm not like a guy who's like a business analyst where I could say, oh, here's what you should be doing, here's what you shouldn't. I don't really know, and I'm not gonna pretend that I know that. Craig or Bezos or John Lee Dumas or Adam Bornstein would be better at that.
Yeah.
I just know that if you produce stuff consistently, if it's good, you know, there's a chance that it'll work.
Yeah.
There's a chance that it won't.
And at the end of the day, you're not like attached to that result anyway.
Yeah.
That's not the reason you're doing it. So it ends up a win no matter what. So that's pretty awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. Let's see. If you guys have any questions for Mr. Furuya while we're here, please throw them in the comments. This isn't just about me hanging out with Jay. If I wanted to do that, these cameras wouldn't be on. So, cool. For fitness businesses, where do you think we're gonna start seeing in the next couple months with trainers? Are we gonna see a lot? I mean, I think I have my thoughts, but I'm wondering what your thoughts are gonna be on, like, where do you think personal trainers are gonna be focusing a lot of their energy in terms of, you know, business structure, marketing, everything over the next couple months here in 2017?
Yes, I'm gonna bum you out again because I don't really know.
Okay,
I don't really focus on that much.
No.
I really don't know.
Okay.
You know, so if someone was getting into the business now, I would say the first thing you should do is don't waste any time trying to figure out stuff on your own. Like, go to Fitness Business Summit, hire Bezos, hire Craig, get in one of those masterminds from the get-go, and then intern with somebody good. Like, I had Alan Cosgrove on the other day, he's one of my closest friends, and he was saying that, like, just jump and find somewhere where you can go and learn from somebody.
Yeah.
That's the oldest way of learning from hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Just go, apprentice, intern, work for free, shadow somebody. That's the way you want to do it. And then just look at, you don't want to get overwhelmed with information overload because there's so many different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just find one person who has the business that you like, but also has a personality that fits. Because like,
totally.
If you say, oh, Johnny's making millions doing it this way, but that doesn't really work with my personality, it's going to fail anyway. So you got to find someone whose personality aligns with what, you know, what you're all about, whose business aligns with what you're all about, and kind of just model them. As for the future and the trends, I don't know. I've never really been one to keep up with that, so it's tough for me to say.
It brightens my life. No, it's so cool to see that this is just how you are on like your podcast and everywhere I see you is how you are in real life. Like, this is legitimately who he is. He's not putting on any sort of front, and it's very obvious. It's awesome. Sweet, man. So what else is going on?
Not too much, really. I'm just, let me think what I got going here. I'm doing some stand-up now, which is fun. I mean, challenging as could be. I did my first stand-up set, and I got up there with the utmost confidence thinking, oh, I'm going to slay this, which I don't know why I was that delusional, because any comedian you'll ever talk to or read or listen to will say, you're going to bomb for your first 2 years. Like,
really?
Bomb. Oh, Chris Rock, Louis C.K., yeah, they'll bomb for 2 years.
Yeah.
So I got up there thinking it was going to be great, and it was awful. It was like the worst thing. It was crickets.
Oh,
but, you know, that being said, I got it under my belt. So I need to do more of that. Been slacking on the improv a little, get more in on that.
Yeah.
We live right here at the beach, so surfing, hiking, you know, stuff like that. I got myself a little bit burnt out towards the end of the year in December and January, and I let some habits slip, and I don't think I identified it soon enough, so I was really burnt out. Like, probably the most I've burnt out.
Really?
I've been burnt out in years. So we got away to Mexico, which was great.
Okay.
That's it, really. Yeah, nothing else really exciting to plan, to talk about. Just, I don't know.
Yeah, awesome, man. I'm trying. I mean, I love all the information you're giving me. It's so, like, just straight up in my face, and it's refreshing. It doesn't feel forced or like you feel like you need to have a specific answer? Like sometimes I interview people.
Yeah, well,
I'm like, this is the one way. And you're like, no, there's a lot of right ways. Like,
yeah, I think you got to do what works for you. And Craig was good in that he identified that about me years ago, where I was when I first got into info products. So 2006. By about 2007-8, I got really wrapped up in it. I'm like, oh man, this guy's doing this, this guy's doing that. Should I do this? Should I do that? And there's like 100 things you should or could be doing every day. So I started freaking myself out. Mm-hmm. And I said to Craig, like, I can't even keep up. What am I? And Craig goes, look, I know you. I know your personality. He goes, don't do any of that shit. First of all, you have the ability and the personality and the energy and the passion to do well if you don't do all that. So forget it. So I think that's important. Is you don't have to do everything. You shouldn't try to do everything. Mm-hmm. Even to this day, like if you, I don't know the strategy for Facebook ads or anything. Like I don't know any of that stuff, and a lot of it I don't do. And I know friends of mine like Bedros or Luca be like, dude, what's wrong with you? Like they want to slap me, and I just can't do it. I gotta have a life where I am doing stuff that makes me happy, and it's not always the right thing. And I need to be doing, and I think that's super important for a lot of people, right? So what happens is, if you go online especially, but if you're an entrepreneur, you can work all day, and then you don't have a lot of hobbies.
Yeah.
I think it's the most important thing in the world that you know, you like for me, if I don't go surfing, if I don't go hiking, if I don't, let's say, go and hit a heavy bag, and train, and meet up with people, and go to comedy clubs, and shoot guns or whatever, you know, do all this kind of stuff, go rock climbing, my business would be awful. Because I went through a period of time where for a year or two, I was just letting everything go and I was just working 24/7, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to.
Right.
And business is never any better. You don't make an extra dime, you're just stressed out, you're ripping your hair out, and you're frustrated. So I think having a well-balanced life, having relationships, you know, a lot of times people will ask for specific business tactics or something like that. And I'm like, bro, you gotta fix what's in here and what's in here first. Like until you fix yourself, it doesn't matter. I can give you the perfect business plan, the perfect workout plan. You're not going to do it. So really ask yourself those hard questions and figure out what makes you happy. And don't worry about comparing yourself to everybody else or what they think. And then business will be good, whether you're doing Facebook ads or the right stuff or not. Like you'll figure out a way to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And that sounds like hippie SoCal advice, but that's really the truth. I mean, I found that to be the truth for me. I tried so hard and I just would work and work and do these 80, 70 hour.
Yeah.
And when I started taking care of myself, and it sounds like such a hippie piece of, like, it sounds like bullshit. Like, but it's like when I'm like, all right, I'm going to start like sleeping and drinking water, and making sure I get my workouts in and making sure I meditate and doing all these things, and, you know, planning date nights with my wife and spending time with my friends and family. And when all that stuff was better, your business is, at least for me, it was a reflection of that.
Absolutely.
And it just started to get better and better and better. And every time I stall, it's because I'm getting way too into the business and ignoring all the other things. This happened to me like a few like weeks ago where I was just like super into it. And I was like, why am I plateaued? I need to work more. That's what all the videos say. That's what all the gurus say. Hustle 24/7. And then I took a step back. I'm like, I'm not really spending my time doing the stuff I like. And I was looking at the like the six love like ways people feel fulfillment that Tony Robbins has all the time. Contribution, you know, feeling loved, all these things. And I was like, I'm getting all these from my business, and that's why I'm feeling super bummed out. So I was making sure I had those in my real life. And my buddy Eric Collins really like shook me at like not even a few weeks ago, and it's like, dude, you need to have all these things in your normal life too, so that you don't feel obsessed with your business.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that's when the business, like, everything starts doing better.
It's it's like one of the easiest or best things people can do is just go on volunteermatch.org and volunteer for an hour a week. Like, just that can change everything for you. You could change your business, change your life, change your relationships.
Totally.
So, and it's funny, you mentioned your wife, you mentioned relationships. I think a lot of people don't take time to work on their relationships. Like, you'll follow a fitness plan, you'll follow a diet, you'll work so hard on a business plan, and then when it comes to relationships, you're like, no, I'm good, it's good, we're good. But you're not always good. Like, you're just pretending you're good. And a lot of times people will put it off because if you say to your spouse, hey, I want to talk about us, and then he or she is like, well, what do you mean? What's wrong with us? Nothing. Like, I just want to make it better. So there's that weird thing with relationships that you got to be honest and you got to check yourself And no, and I'm sure, certainly I'm guilty of it too. Like, I'll put that on the back burner. I'll work harder on my training, my diet, my business, whatever it may be, than my relationship sometimes. And that's not the way to go. And you always need to have a reminder of that and someone to check you on that.
Totally. Yeah. And that's, I mean, for me, that's what Craig's been actually for me lately, just making sure I keep that balance. And, you know, I actually, to make sure I was doing, because I found myself saying, oh, yeah, we'll go out this weekend. Oh, yeah, we'll go out the next weekend.
Yeah.
And, like, 2 months, 3 months passed by, I'm like, we haven't done anything.
Yeah.
So we actually sit down every 3 months and we have it in our Google Calendar and we plan. It's the least sexy thing ever, but we plan all of our dates, Craig Valentine style.
No, that's great.
And that way we
I think you should have it in your schedule. Like every Wednesday night's date night or whatever.
Yeah, that's what we've been doing. Yeah. And it's, and then we have, you know, we do 3 months at a time because our travel's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then we sit down and we're like, okay, well, we're in this, you know, we're in Hawaii this time or we're over here. And so we make sure that we get that QT in, and then it adds to everything else in your life, which isn't the reason to do it, but it does. So
yeah.
Anyway, cool, man. You have any questions for me? I feel like this is a job interview.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's all I got, man.
All right, cool, guys. If you guys have any questions for Jay, jump on. Otherwise, I'm not going to keep him much longer here. So, cool. If I love Jay Furuya, which I do, where can I find your stuff? Where can I connect with you? Where's the easiest way to find you?
Yeah, jasonferugia.com, or I'm at Jay Furugia on Facebook and Instagram, and podcast obviously is on iTunes, SoundCloud, it's Renegade Radio, or just search my name.
Yeah.
It'll pop up.
Is it the Jay Furugia show, or is it Renegade Radio?
It's Renegade Radio.
Okay.
But we're having some branding discussions now.
Which, okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah. Because I see both. That's why I'm like,
Because
some people have like 5 podcasts.
Right.
I don't know how they do it.
No, I don't know either.
I was just wondering if that's
We're in some branding discussions now. So, but if you just search my name, it'll pop up no matter what we decide on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Somebody had a really quick question if any of us have kids. I don't have children. Do you have children?
No. And I get that. I mean, that it's harder to do some of this stuff if you have kids. I certainly can't relate. I'm not going to pretend to relate.
Yeah.
A lot of times we get questions for the show on productivity or working when you have a newborn baby, and I don't try to front and answer the question. I don't really know. So I wait until I have a guest on who has kids, and I'll ask them, you know. I think that's another good piece of advice is don't pretend to always know the answers. Like, I'll just tell, like I told you twice, I don't know the answers to a lot of those things.
I think that's some of the best, honestly, and in some way it's some of the best advice I've ever gotten, because some other people just pull some bullshit out.
Yeah, which you end up just regurgitating a bunch of shit that you read.
And or look, something so basic that is not of any value. So
right.
You know, making sure you watch something of value.
You know, business is like training where... It doesn't help a lot of people to say this, but the answer often is it depends.
Right.
So if you give me a specific scenario, I could definitely guide you and help you, but I'm not going to pretend to always have the answers. And I don't think anyone listening should ever do that, whether you're a trainer, whether you're trying to build a business. It just comes across as fake and not authentic. And you want to just be real and just let people know, like, nobody's superhuman. Nobody can know everything. Yeah. So if I don't know, I'll let you know. And try to connect you with someone who does.
Yeah. Totally. And that's, you know, that's why doing things like podcasts, live streams or whatever is so great, because now, I don't know the answer to that. I can point you to Jay, or I can point you to this
guy,
or point you to Craig or whoever. Right.
Yeah.
And you don't have to know the answer, and people will be much more thankful and you can feel good about what you're doing. So.
And interviewing people or just talking to people like we're doing here is great, because now you and I are connected.
Right.
So I think I would advise people to do that. Like, if you're comfortable behind a mic or in front of a camera, do that. I mean, that's certainly a trend. Not that I'm Nostradamus. Like, obviously, we know that people like to consume content through video.
Right.
They've said for years, way before podcasts even existed, that audio was the most intimate form of radio because you're usually content delivery, because you are just alone. Like, back in the days when the radio was first invented, you're in the house, people would be looking at the radio, they'd be staring at it like this for some odd reason, but it's just you, there's no distractions. With a podcast nowadays, you got your headphones on, you're walking, whereas if you're watching a video, you usually have, you're typing, you're reading, got a lot of stuff going on, you're watching TV, you're on your phone, there's distractions. So podcasting is good for that reason, that you're really in that person's ears. And I mean, think about your favorite radio show. I started listening to Howard Stern in 1987 when my dad was driving me to school in the morning. And I feel like I know Howard like he's my best friend.
Yeah.
You know? So you get to know the person, and then from your end, the audience gets to know, like, and trust you. So it's easier if you want to sell them stuff, recommend stuff to them. So I definitely recommend that. We know that people read blogs less and less. You know, so I prefer podcasts. Like, I personally, and Craig's the same way. I don't know if he's admitting this and I'm revealing a secret, but he can't watch videos. I can't watch videos online, even though we're doing a video.
Yeah. Like, no.
I know. No. But I'm a rarity, and I'm older too. I don't know. That for me, it doesn't work because I feel like when I'm on the computer, I'm doing work, and that's it. And I don't want to get distracted and watch stuff.
Yeah.
So, but now I will say this. Only over the last maybe month. We got a smart TV, but I didn't know it was a smart TV until about a month ago.
You're like,
so now
damn,
I watch
the dumb TV.
I will watch YouTube videos on TV at night. That's how now I'll catch up on like Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon and stuff like that because I'm not up that late.
Right.
So I'll watch that, but I can't bring myself to pull it up on the computer for some reason. I'm just a weirdo like that. So, but that's a case where I don't think you should do. What is true to you? Because like, if I never made videos because I can't hit play on them, or because Craig can't because we don't have the patience or whatever it may be,
right. That's
wrong. We know people love video and they consume video, and I even do it now. I just have to do it on the TV. It's just some weird rule I have to live by. But again, if it could be audio or video, I would do those two above writing. But if you love to write, you know, I made my name writing. I was a decent writer. So now I have barely written anything in years. And I probably won't until I write my next book. And even if I do that, I'll probably have someone helping me just because I don't have really the patience anymore to sit down and write. I've written probably 1,000 articles, and now it's just not something I want to do as much, you know?
Sure.
So
yeah.
You got to figure out, you know, like I said, what works for you.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it. Cool. Well, I think we were doing a wrap up, right? Where can we find you?
JasonFerugia.com. I'm at JFerugia on Instagram and Facebook, and just Google my name search my name on iTunes. You'll find Renegade Radio Podcast.
And it's a really great podcast. I recommend listening to it. I'm subscribed to it. It's a good show.
Thank you.
Yes, I am. I'm helping. I'm part of it. All right,
absolutely.
Cool. Thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We will have another show on Monday with a surprise guest. I actually don't remember the guest. I feel terrible right now. But we'll see you on Monday. Thank you guys for being here. Jay, thank you for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.